Well, we hear Jesus basically addressing the Pharisees in our gospel, telling them about the sheep, you know, the sheep gate, the shepherd. He's the gate, because the Pharisees didn't quite understand what he was saying. So he basically said, I am the gate. It's through me that the sheep will find pasture, will find basically eternal life. And if we understand the context of which this is taking place, the gospel helps. We actually heard the gospel about the blind man. Remember the blind man who Jesus heals on the Sabbath? And Jesus is criticized for doing it. The blind man is trying to convince both the Pharisees and the Jews that actually he was healed. They didn't acknowledge it. And Jesus comes along, and basically this gospel follows after that incident. So if you think about it, think about what's taking place, is the Pharisees and the Jews are blinded. They don't see the truth. The truth being a person actually in front of them. It's Jesus. So one of the things that's important for us to remember and be mindful of is that if Jesus is truth, then we want to find truth in our lives. What is the truth? Now, obviously, it's a person. But it's through the truth, when we find the truth, that we actually will be free. Remember, in Scripture, it said at one point, the truth will set you free. Yes, the truth will set us free. And it's kind of like, you know, you can view the gate as sort of like keeping you in. You can also view a gate as opening up what's good and new. Remember that, you know, Jesus has opened the gates of heaven because of what he did. He died on the cross, certainly, and opened the gates for heaven so we could actually go into the green pastures of heaven. But we have to go through the sheep gate. We have to go through Christ. It's Christ through whom we enter heaven. And Jesus actually reinforces this on the night before he goes to his death. You go read the Last Supper, the accounts of the Last Supper. In there, Jesus, it's one of the most popular funeral gospels, John 14, 1-6, where Jesus, you know, counsels them and says, and do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in me. In my Father's house, there have been many mansions prepared for you. And Thomas says, well, how are we supposed to get there? How is this going to happen? And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And I have revealed things to you about my Father, but it's through me that you come to know about the Father. You come to know about the truth. So it's really coming to know what's true, what's good, in part by where we enter into the gates of heaven. So it's something for us to be mindful about, to seek the truth. Ultimately, it's a person. To find it, to live it in our lives. And, you know, there's a lot of various issues today going on in our world. And there can be confusion. And this is what the devil wants. The devil wants to confuse people. Remember way back at the very beginning, in Adam and Eve? What did the devil? The devil kind of was telling half-truths and lies. He didn't give them the whole truth. God had said to them that unless you're not supposed to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam and Eve that. But the devil didn't. He lied to them and tricked them into eating that fruit. And of course, they spiritually were dead, and eventually they die physically. So this is one of the things, you know, there's ultimately the devil in the world today. He didn't stop after Adam and Eve. He continues to try to deceive us, tell us lies, false truths, half-truths, whatever it might be, to get us off the path, to get us away from Christ, who's truth. That's what the devil wants to do. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. He wants us to go to hell. So we're called to really trust in the Lord and seek the truth in our lives. What is, for this particular issue, whatever it might be, what would Jesus say? What is the truth? So there's, you know, things we can go look into and find out. You know, one is certainly Scripture, Holy Scripture, the Bible. There actually is, I'm going to bring out three things. sacred tradition, sacred scripture, and the magisterium of the church. So sacred scripture, it's a very powerful way, and that's one of the reasons we read it every week in Mass. It's the Word of God. It reveals, if it's the Word of God, it reveals God to us and the way that God works and how things are supposed to be ordered in our lives. And so really to, pay attention to Scripture. The devil, another thing he likes to do is kind of have us doubt Scripture and the Bible. Oh, that's just a bunch of myths and stories, and you shouldn't really believe it. And we're supposed to believe all the Bible. And Genesis, some people think, well, Genesis, that's just a story, and it didn't really happen. Well, if the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then in Genesis, things did happen as accounted in Genesis. There's inerrancy in Scripture, meaning that everything that Scripture teaches and tells us, that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to come to know it. So the Bible is historical. It did happen. So that's one thing. We hear, the Bible, some of the things really didn't happen. By the Bible, it did happen. Things happened in the Bible. Another thing is that the writers of Scripture, they were inspired by the Spirit to write what's there. In other words, the Scripture, the Holy Spirit did dictate to the writers of Scripture, but rather inspired them in their thoughts. And based upon those thoughts, they would then write down in their own way what the thought was leading them into. So that's what they did. They wrote it down. And so you have someone wrote like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's different styles, but there's a lot of, truth, obviously all truth in their Gospels. But they wrote it a little different. Luke is very detailed. So if you read, you can pay attention to that. So God inspired the authors to write what he wanted them to write, and they wrote it in their own way. One of the things, too, is one of the authors, there's a debate on this, but it seems to make a lot of sense that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Genesis. And Genesis is really, people get kind of sketchy and kind of doubt the Genesis, especially the first books of Genesis, the chapters of Genesis, 1 and 2, and Adam and Eve, story of Adam and Eve. Oh, that was just kind of a myth. Well, for one, Moses went up on Mount Sinai and saw God. And so he would have talked to God. He did talk to God. So God would have probably told him what happened at the very beginning of the world. It was only God who was the witness there in Genesis 1. Adam and Eve still hadn't been created. So Moses wrote the first five books. It makes a lot of sense. He was trained in Egyptian. He knew how to write. He was well educated. He had plenty of time to write them in the desert for 40 years. So really, the powerful word of Scripture, to read it, look at it, see, what does Scripture say about a particular issue? What does it say about a particular issue? Now, it doesn't say, there's certain things that have come up in our world today that Scripture doesn't necessarily talk specifically about. It maybe have overtones to it. But that's where Jesus, he didn't leave us abandoned just to Holy Scripture. That's why he set up a church in part, which is, and it left the church leaders, guides. And so we can look at the church for its guidance on issues of the day. Sacred tradition, If we look at what happened in the past, the church, what has the church taught on this particular issue in the past? On faith and morals, the church has not changed, right? So what has it taught in the past? And what is whatever person's thinking and teaching today, if there's a contradiction, then the person teaching today is probably wrong. Okay. Now there's what's called expansion of the truth, meaning a certain truth has been expanded upon. We know more about it, but a certain truth can't change. You can't say it was this way at one point and now it's this different way. That can't be. So that'd be kind of a red flag to us, like, no, I don't think that's right. Probably you're not right. So to look at sacred tradition, what is the church taught? And lastly, there's the magisterium. Those are certainly the leaders in the church, guides. And this is one of the things, you know, for us to look at issues of the day is talk to someone we trust, you know, especially in the clergy. And if you have a bishop, you know, talk to them. Well, what about this particular issue I'm struggling with, or is there to understand it? You know, what is, I read scripture, I didn't find anything in there. I looked at the past history of the church and find someone. So ask someone today. It's like, well, what do you think about this? And someone who's trustworthy, talk about that. Talk about the issues. To find the truth. And then ultimately, to listen to the Spirit in us. You know, that's why we're all called to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. To listen to the Spirit in us, guiding us and helping us. Sometimes, you know, our intuition is right on. So, and our intuition can be the Holy Spirit talking to us. It's just like, you know, our thoughts can come from the Spirit. Yeah, it's like, just something in me just tells that this is the way I should look at this particular issue today. That probably could be the Holy Spirit guiding and helping us to what's good. So, you know, certainly to listen to that, to find the truth, to seek the truth, and ultimately it's Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the gate into heaven. So we want to find him, follow him. And if we find and follow the truth, it will set us free.